Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He's undercover, not a curmudgeon. He's got a giant beating heart.
But I wonder, like, are you ever not on, Eric? Like, when I say that, I mean, like, you walk in the room and you're like, friend! Like, yes! Oh, yeah. Like, when you go to bed at night, are you like, oh, fuck this shit.
I think my wife gets exhausted because losers. I really do. I think I can't believe this all worked out, and I am grateful. Now, does that mean I'll sit here and get stoned out of my mind and watch baseball and basketball for 5 hours a night? Sure. And that's a different kind of on.
Fair enough.
That's the personal on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, we are rolling in case you didn't know.
Hell yes.
You're the first real repeat guest we've had.
I'm honored. Well, I want to volunteer. You know how the Daily Show has different correspondents? I would like to be on call to be the crossover's white translator. On call. I don't care if it's every week or whenever. Just if you are confused by whiteness, I'm here. And I've studied these people.
That has to be a part of it now.
Let me know. If you need a white translator anytime, anywhere.
Nobody here is confused by whiteness.
That was going to be my other backup point. I didn't want to bring it up. I don't want to bring it up because you presented such a nice offer, but I was like, that's kind of our thing. That's it.
But if somehow you're like, I really don't understand how the white people fucked this up.
Okay.
I could be like, oh, okay. They're even dumber than you thought.
If we're just dumbfounded. Like, there are white African-American study professors, but it's still a little different.
I don't think there should be anymore. I think it's 2020.
Wait, so do you think that what's the woman who was on Parks and Rec, but then it was the voice on Big Mouth who quit?
Oh, Jenny Slate?
Yeah, Jenny Slate. Are you a person who thinks that she should have given up her position, or do you think that it's...
Yes, but I'm a total, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. I think we're making up for years of systemic shit, because I have no beef. The first ever regular cartoon show I did, my buddy Kevin Michael Richardson played three different white people. Phil Lamar plays tons of white people, and I think that's great. That's what I love about voiceover. But I think that there's no reason for Jenny Slate to be playing that character. And they'll get somebody else in there, and it just shows how quickly we've kind of come to the light that she was even offered that part so recently. And Nick Kroll's a fantastic human and did the right thing. But now it'll be a lot more interesting.
The Jenny Slate one more so than any of the other ones. Everybody else is white. You couldn't find one mixed person at least to do that one. Like all the rest of the ones, I'm like, okay, it's voice actor.
Wait, are there black voice actors on that show?
There's one white character. There's one black voice. It is Jordan Peele, and he plays fucking the ghost of.
Does he play a black person?
Yeah.
Okay.
He plays a black ghost, Rob. Rod, that's.
I mean, I'd love to play a black ghost, whatever the fuck that means. I've never seen Big Mouth.
What?
No, I haven't either.
Great show. Like, should have been around when we were children. It's tight. It's very funny.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's so fucking funny.
Well, I think, and that's kind of one of my beefs with Hollywood is they also only think about a certain kind of black person. Yeah. Where like, how do they not know a single black hippie? I know so many black hippies.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, and I know black hippie voice actors. Like, I think, Cree Summer.
Yeah, I think that's more the problem is that, like, I've heard this argument of, well, when you write it, you should have had a black person in mind, first of all, fine, okay. But then, why are you not, like Rod said, there's only one type of black person? Like, it's like, no, we got this black person to play this one specific black voice, and then everything else we have white people do it. It's a Family Guy thing. Family Guy does it the most. I guess The Simpsons did it first, where they had the four black people be played by white people. But it's like, oh, but we can't do that voice, because that voice would be racist, so we got to get a black person for that voice. So it's like, well, you got to have... first of all, casting director, you need to have black casting directors, you need to have black writers, you need to have black all these things so that you fix these problems. But move all that aside, how do you not know that there is that type of... I think that's my irritation, is that they assume that that black voice, like you said, that that black thing can't be filled. It's like, ah, no, this black person doesn't exist, so it's just got to be one of us, and then we'll just black it up a little bit.
It's from not knowing people. And like, that's where, when we start having friends and everybody starts knowing people, you'll understand. But when I see that, I'm like, black hippies are the most legendary. Like the ones I see at my jam band shows, how do you not know one? Like someone on that fucking writing staff had to go to a Phish show and know it's a thing. So,
I can endlessly complain about black writing situations. It's like, yo, you can't put me in this bullshit ass diversity program, right? And then you hire me on the show and nobody wants me to be in the show, right? So nobody is helping me to develop myself as a writer. Mm-hmm. All of y'all are white homies, because usually that's how you get staffed on a show. It's like, say what you want to about you filling out the packet, yada yada. Fuck that. Somebody knew you and was like, yeah, for sure, I'll give you that job.
You're about to make Jake Regal real mad. Remember, the colors didn't do well today, bro.
Bring it.
They didn't do well today.
Yeah, it's been too long since we brought up Jake Regal.
It's been a while. Just had to throw that back in there.
Oh, that's so fucking funny, bro.
And I realized when I was going through improv and I would see my friends that didn't easily fit into a box, I'm like, oh, this is fucked, because we are now hiring black people based on white people's filter of blackness and
exactly
what they think black is. 100%. And right now, let's be honest, every billboard that is trumpeting their diversity hires is white writers and white creators.
Fam.
And it's slowly changing, but you have a bunch of people clinging to their power, but inside that room and inside the decision-making, it's as white as hell.
All white, bro. My roommate is a manager, and his company is white as white can be, and they were literally on a black sensitivity meeting, but it's literally all white people having the meeting. How the fuck y'all gonna have a sensitivity meeting or like a microaggression meeting when none of you niggas have had to deal with it? And it blows my fucking mind, because it's like,
they're
yo,
just happy you called them niggas, man. Like, I've been co-signed by the streets.
I was about to hit the backpedal, but I was like, nah, everybody could be a nigga. Fuck that. I stand by what I say. I said it with my chest. It's like, bro, I'm sick of white people patting themselves on the back because they're doing the bare minimum, bro.
The bare minimum, and it's not for the right reasons, for fucking self-preservation and survival.
100%.
An example of how that plays out in the real world, or at least on the online world, I guess. Yesterday, I'm on Facebook, and, my Facebook is pretty much this. It used to be a utopia of a million different opinions, and I would stomach the shitty ones. But since George Floyd, I've cut a lot of people out. So it's mostly, it's not fully, but mostly now an echo chamber, and I get that. But one of these people is an older guy who is a Cal fan. I think it's probably like in his 60s. And usually we agree. I mean, I think he's more of like a Pelosi head than, a true progressive in that respect. But yesterday he posted a meme that says, it wasn't a meme, actually. It was just a post of his that was a picture of a tweet. And the tweet said, it's so bad that it's gotten to the point where I consider American flags to be a symbol of racism in this country. And this guy's commentary on that tweet was, like, this must be Russian trolls. Like, what has it come to that people think that the flag is now racist? Like, this is crazy. And this is a progressive guy. And I jumped in, because I know he respects the shit out of my opinion. And I'm like, did you see that the person who tweeted this was a black person? Did you know I also tweeted the exact same shit? Do you know what it's like to feel oppressed by your own flag?
Who built the country, nigga?
I'm saying, in this context, let's say it's a sensitivity meeting. He would be the one leading it and saying, like, okay, we know where it goes too far. Because we don't have that voice to say, hey, guy, the flag actually now, literally, if I see someone wearing, like, flag gear, I'm like, oh, I might as well go the other way. This is definitely a racist person.
Facts.
And that might not be true, but I'm saying that's what triggers for me, because no one else does that shit anymore. Nobody. They've co-opted it and made it their own thing, at least from my perspective. That's why you need other perspectives.
Facts.
So what did he say?
He just liked it.
He didn't want to smoke.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to white people in 2020. He just liked it. He did everything he could on this Tuesday afternoon, Fred. Hats off, Fred. Hats off. Pelosi. Yay.
That man said, I want no problems.
I liked it. Button. I liked it. I actually had a really interesting discourse with Rod Benson earlier today.
You know he was talking about that shit. He was like, actually, Carol.
Oh, they'll let you know, friend.
Well, on that same note, we share a wall, so I can hear them talking about it, right? And it's the lady who founded the company. Her niece
founded what company?
This management company that my homie works at. Okay. It's called Gotham. I don't give a fuck. Okay. They ain't going to hire me. I don't give a shit.
It's a big company.
Like, yeah. Sure. So her niece is the one who hires the interns, right? And she has gotten multiple complaints about being like discriminatory and like problematic, but she's the main one talking about, yeah, we really need to da 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 da. And they all keep harkening back onto, we have such a diverse client base. No, motherfucker, you're making money off of black people. That is not the same thing. That is not the same thing. You are not looking out because we are cutting checks for you niggas. Like, who are you not seeing about this shit?
Yeah.
You fucking crazy?
Oh, but, yeah.
Maybe I'm just a little too aggressive, as they say.
No, Chris. Like, we need desperately.
She just look aggressive thing. With that hair.
Oh, it's just like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones has a very diverse talent roster, you know? For real.
Jerry Jones is really for the people.
No, no.
I'm doing air quotes right now, guys.
No, we need Chris. This is our path to healing. This is how it happens, is people. Because I think the number one thing is people are just not having these conversations. With so many people, I just want to be like, you just don't know. You don't know because you just don't know people that are different from you. And I only lucked into moving to Spokane and having a whole new friend set where you're like, oh, wow. Empathy is forced sometimes. Yeah. And yeah. I think that's why you see now so many people that are out front are like actors. You think Kyle Korver and Clayton Kershaw understood this stuff at 17? No. It's only because empathy is forced upon you, where you now sound like a far left woke person only because you were friends with actual black people. And unfortunately, most people are not.
That is very true.
Know. Yeah.
I also think people assume that being wrong means that you are wrong as a person. Like, being wrong is life. You are supposed to be, oh, you know what? I had the wrong view on that, and now I'm going to grow and develop. That's the whole point of going to school, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I didn't know this thing. Now I know it. So I'm going to move through life with this knowledge now. But people would be like,
I know where the blame for that falls, though, a little bit. Woke white women, y'all. I'm just saying, I love you when you're on our side. But starting about 7, 8, 9 years ago, you started going real far with things and making
7, 8. What you mean?
I'm saying
have been too much.
When Obama won, there was a lot of people who were like, fuck it, everything is now changed, which is great that change was facilitated in that way. But it also, I witnessed this, and this is the least progressive thing I'll probably ever say, but over policing people instead of trying to bring them along really made a lot of people think that what you just said isn't true. That they've been made to feel like they are wrong instead of the feeling they have about one thing being wrong. And that's why I took the time the other day in my Instagram story to say, I'm trash. Yeah. We're all trash. Like, about so many things, of course I'm trash. Because if you ever spend time around kids, they literally know nothing. And they learn each thing. They learn each thing. If you never are exposed to learning something, or if you learn it in an incorrect way, that's just how it is for you. I think for a lot of men, especially our age, we learn sex in a very fucking shitty way from like American Pie movies and stuff like that, where it's almost like some game like Panty Raid. I've never heard of anybody raiding panties ever in my life. Well,
I thought I was missing out. Shit, I feel better now.
You guys are fucking pies and like foreign chicks and stuff. You're just like, wow, this is... whatever, like, this is.
Like Coach says, a new girl. I had sisters growing up, so I was a little bit different. Thank you very much. But no, that is very true. And it's like, bro, I literally welcome the smoke on my Instagram story. Anytime I'm saying some crazy shit, I'm like, if you have another opinion, talk to me about it. I'm going to tell you you stupid because you probably are, but I'm going to explain to you why. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that like there's a problem being stupid. I'm stupid about a lot of things. Like I get told I'm dumb all the time. And do you know what I do? I go, okay, well, this is how I viewed it. Can you explain how I fucked up to how I got here?
And every time we have that conversation, like, I have patience with
no,
you.
No, shut your ass and up, every nigga. Time no, Rod just constantly thinks he's right about everything. Don't y'all hear this shit? He's
yeah,
like, I'm older. I'm older.
Rod.
I got it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Get the fuck out of here.
I want to be patient Rod.
Yeah. Can you give me this nigga number?
Where's that?
Where's this guy show up? What kind of shit is this? Is it like the clumps that you have to take a chemical to become that nigga?
It's the opposite of your brand, Rod. Be careful. Patient Rod. Rod. Shit, man. We want Jimmy Butler shooting.
Oh, Lord.
That's so fucking funny.
So when you said coach, you're referring to the show Hoops.
No, I'm referring to New Girl, which also has Jake Johnson, who is in the show Hoops, that also has Eric.
Hey, man. Look at that. You can't teach that.
Can't
Chris. That's full circle. But what I love about Hoops, and it is one of those things that surprised me about moving to L.A., is you can just see how damn loyal Jake Johnson is, and also it's a full-scale New Girl reunion. Yeah. They all love him. They all came back. Hannah Simone tweeted the funniest thing. She's like, thank you for this amazing New Girl reunion from the weirdest clown in Los Angeles, Jake Johnson. And I was like, yep, you nailed it, Hannah. We're all here because of this weirdo, and we love him.
Wait, were you on New Girl?
Yes.
Yes.
Again, only because of the loyalty of Jake Johnson. And to me, this is where our bar should always be for this stuff. He got the gig. That dude went down with 10 headshots of his friends that he said, look, these are my friends, but they're all fantastic actors. I'd really like to get them involved in the show going forward.
That's how you know that's your homie, because he hit that voice perfectly.
Every single one of us was on the show. The creator of the show was thrilled I was on there just so Jake would stop bothering her. They had me play Drunk Elvis in the Chicago episode. He had tried so many times. Eventually, I'm like, hey, Jake, bro, this is my life. I'm up for stuff. I don't get it. No. We got to have you on New Girl. No. Then there was a Drunk Elvis. He's like, I'm calling Liz Merriweather right now. You got to be Drunk Elvis. You love Elvis. You love to drink. This is us. And what's amazing is when you see the episode he does that no one else on TV will do, this dude turned his body and head to face me so the camera would have to be on me and give me a moment. It's seriously like a friend is kicking it out.
It's a real one. Three to oop.
Yeah. That's a real one. And I think that's what really surprised me about moving down here is how many loyal friends I met like that, that will bend over backwards just try to help.
Again, that's you, though. That's you. You know how many? Yeah. I met like that's three people like that in 12 years here.
But I think
you. Like finds like. You know that's both of you.
Sure.
We'll be giving each other gigs when we're 70. I firmly believe
it. Wait, let me ask you a question, though. Sorry, Chris.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I find, and maybe this, I'm curious about your take on this, but that the exact opposite also exists where, like, for example, you're working a lot and there's maybe people in your circle who, like, I'm not going to say are jealous about that, but they're not going to, like, discuss it with you. They're not going to give you praise because I feel like a lot of people here, they have, like, kind of weird self-esteem and, like, seeing someone else succeed is kind of hard for them or maybe encroach on a space they thought was theirs. Do you have any feeling about that?
I do. For me, that can't be how I live. And like, it's a hilarious experience for me because I would go to these big guy auditions and you walk in a room and there's 20 people that look like you. Where you're like, there's that many goofy big white dudes in this town. There's 30. And instead of viewing them as rivals, like I kept getting beaten out by my buddy Steve Berg, who plays DJ on Hoops.
Yeah.
And I'd never met him. I knew Jake loved him at IO. And it was just like, we're not going to be rivals. Let's be friends. And we ended up, he's one of my best friends in the world. He officiated my wife and I's wedding.
Hmm.
And I've had multiple friends I've met from the big guy auditions because my dream is, well, hold on. Let's just all do something together one day. Instead of being in this bullshit rivalry they're trying to put on us, let's have something down the road one day where John Goodman needs a kidney and 20 of us are in the room together and he's yelling at us. Like, let's find something else. Because for me, I just can't focus on anyone else because it doesn't do well for me. And it's the battle. You feel like everyone in town is working except for you sometimes. And you'll have the, I've had moments where I've told somebody a good piece of news or a job I've gotten, and you see them put on the fake smile. Oh, that's great. Oh, how good for you. I'm going to be like, motherfucker, you weren't at the audition.
Yeah.
You're my friend. You should be thrilled because you know me, and all I'm about is trying to work with my friends. And like, you're sad. You're 5'6". You and I aren't going up
for the same audition. It's not the same audition, fam.
I think
it's a three-part thing, though. I want you to continue, but I want to see if you agree.
No, I want to hear it because that's what I have. It shocked me how many loyal people I met down here. And if I see somebody is – and I know right now is a weird time. So there's certain people I don't want to tell that I'm working because people are struggling. And I feel so lucky to have lucked into this voiceover thing where I'm able to keep working. Yeah. But all in all, it's really like a rising tide lifts all boats. And if my friends are working, I'm working. And I can't argue with the results because if you look at my IMDb, a third of that is gigs I've gotten from friends. And just for me in the way, I got to be about love. And I can't be about... Now, that does not mean I'm not about competition and I don't love it. Because unlike you two, I was not great at sports growing up. So this is the only thing I can do where I still enjoy auditioning. Yeah. And I do. I may be friends with those guys in the room, the 20 other big guys. I'm going to cut their throats in that room and then hug them on the way out with love. But I have to go in there and do my best. And I love that because this is the first time I can actually dunk or shoot. So they're still my friends, but I do love the competition. I'm like, all right, Berg, you got me on a couple of these, but I got this one. The hardest was we both tested for the same thing.
Yeah.
Which is down to three people. When you test, you sign a contract for an ungodly amount of money. I did not get it. He did not get it. But we're both sitting in there with one other guy. And that's where it really gets pushed. We're like, oh, my gosh, this will change either of our lives. And I'm sitting in here in direct competition with a guy that officiated my wife and I's wedding.
Yeah.
It's a weird deal.
I think that, to your point, Rob, you're used to that because that's an athlete thing. Well, one, as black dudes who are in sports, right, and in the areas we are, you're just used to snake niggas, right? Like snakes are just around, bro. Like there's a lot of snakes around, bro. Like people, sick of these snakes, man. But there's a lot of snakes around, right? And you were taught that like if somebody is being overly nice to you, it's because they want something from you. It's evident when we went bowling. You were like, "Not why y'all niggas going?" I was like, "Bro, literally." I was like, "I get it. I know niggas have played you."
To explain what he's saying a little bit, I've had to pay for people 1,000 times, and sometimes I snap when everyone like the bill comes and everyone just kind of like slowly fades. I'm like, "Bro, stand up here, so we all feel the pressure. Like, don't leave me up here. Don't leave any assumptions. Don't assume you're gonna Venmo me back." Get up here and offer your goddamn card.
Literally, the dude said it. I was like, all right, we're going to do this in thirds. And Rod didn't hear that part. So then we stepped back and I turned around. He was like, hold up, niggas. And I was like, hey. I get it, bro. I get it. I get the
angle. I've been watching The Wire, son.
I'm out here. Go play with you out.
Turn your back on me.
I think that's the first thing, right? So I also have gone through life just seeing dudes like trying to get over on my father and shit. So I just go through assuming people are snakes, right? But then if you go through with that, the ones that aren't, you can notice it easier, right? Like that stands out. And like you said with the competition thing, you can play sports with somebody and bust they ass, right? But like if that's your nigga, that's still your nigga at the end of the day. And it's just like you said, like I'm going to go as hard as I can. People come here, this is a two-part thing. So people come here to pretend to be something. They try to put on an airs of something. That's why, like Rod likes to say, people come here and there's 10% of people have money and then 90% of people pretending like they do, which is what it is because they come.
Everyone in LA is broke, y'all. If you're listening to this, you live somewhere else, you're like, man, it's glamorous. Before the pandemic, everyone here was fucking broke. Like literally, like 90, it's an insane economy based on everyone knowing everyone's broke. So you just know other people in different industries.
Yeah. But that want to put on airs and like that's where the snakes start rising up, right? Because they're like, oh no, like if anybody succeeds, that means I'm less likely to succeed. And when you go in sports, it's like, no, like there are people who are going to get shit faster than you. There are people who are just going to get more and you just got to bite that bullet. And all you got to do is go put in the work, bro. Like put up your shots, go run your routes, do what you got to do. Shut the fuck up and do it, right? So when you shut the fuck up and do it, you notice other people who are shutting the fuck up and do it. So you're just like, okay, so what's going to happen from that? That means we are going to eventually succeed. And when we eventually succeed, you know who I'm going to help? None of them snake-ass niggas. I'm going to help all the other ones who are shutting the fuck up and doing the work with me, right?
Oh yeah.
And it's like that's
I think
all
that there's like what if I combine both of your statements, I have to add one piece, which is that when Eric goes in for an audition and there's 30 big dudes, it is unique and incredible, but there's also maybe 20 shows offering roles for funny big white dudes. For black people, it's like even the show Hoops, there's one black character who's going to fill this role. There's one black, and there's, if you're around a lot of these, you know, acting circles, I mean, I'd say racially 40% of actors that I've met are black also.
Yeah.
But there's so many fewer roles that when we start to think of like the snake thing or like the competing with your best friend,
the crab mentality.
If we're all going after one spot in a show that has 10 spots, I think it makes people even more like, but the way it trickles down, at least the way I've seen it, I think we've talked about this a little bit, is like your best friends won't share your like good news posts. Like if you make something on your own that doesn't have anything to do with the network, you write a script and we film it. Like we're working on some sketches here. We know the people who will share it and the people who won't.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with how close of friends we are. It has everything to do with like, at least in my opinion, oh, they're doing shit. I'm not doing shit. They're doing shit.
But I don't think that's what it is. And if it is, and if they are salty, okay.
There's just
niggas like that. And it's just like, all right, just be salty, bro. But I think that point is accurate, is that like the animosity from black people comes a little harder because it's like, what the fuck, bro? Like, especially there are dudes who have been like, bro, what are you saying? Like, I've been here for 20 years. Like, what do you mean you have shit now? And it's like, I get that because dudes get on and then they don't do what you said. And that's where animosity is bred, is when dudes get on and then they go, oh, but I can't, bro. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a very black thing. I feel like Stephen A. is like very... Like when we look at ESPN, Stephen A. still making money, and Jamel Hill and Michael Smith had to find other homes.
He didn't say nothing,
and they're fine.
Yeah.
But he plays the game, and I think that the game also does two things. One, it keeps you afloat in your mind, and it makes white people feel comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's another world where people who don't play the game, those are the ones like always trying to help everybody out, because they don't believe in the game. But then you run into people who've had some success, and they're like, yeah, I had success by leaving you guys alone.
But there's a lot of... yeah, that's it. There's risk in being different. We were saying this the other day about, like, when Leonard's white homie came over and was like, so do you think if Obama would have, like, tried to do things just strictly for black people, they would have killed him? Yes. Yes. There is risk in being the motherfucker who goes, you know what? I see how it's built up, but fuck that. Like, I'm getting to get fired because I quit two jobs here, and there were two times.
You got fired on your day off?
Nah, because I told that nigga suck my dick from the back. But I was like, bro, it was because I was like, yo, dude, I had a whole sports career of old white men yelling at me and telling me what to do. I'll be goddamned if I'm gonna let your tiny insecure ass talk to me or however the fuck you want to. Ooh. It's not happening. Ooh. It's not happening. I literally told him, I was like, yo, cut it out. I get that you're used to doing this, but I don't need it. I'm already behind the eight ball. I'll go farther behind. I'll add one more ball. I'll move that out the way eventually too. Fuck you. If you think I was about to sit here and let you just say whatever the fuck you want to me.
He's still mad as day one.
Yeah, I am.
Well,
because that is, this whole industry is that shit. And it's so fucking ridiculous to me. And people just let it slide and they just smile it off. Fuck that shit, nigga. Like, fuck that. Stop letting them do that. Like, that's my only message here in all this anger. Is stop letting people play you, nigga. Get what you are owed.
What I love about us coming from improv is that what we're taught is that if I'm doing a scene with you, and a whole other level of competition with actors is you'll be in a scene and someone will compete.
Yeah.
And you'll be in a scene, especially if you're tall and Rod, Chris, you're the thing, friends, I hate to say it. But what I love about us coming from improv is you are trained to make your partner look good. And I've
good improvisers are, Eric. You're a good improviser.
That's right.
There are improvisers
like,
who are not.
We know right now our survival for the three of us, and we will be working on giant shows together one day, is on me making you look good and me making you look good. And when you find the people that really live that, a whole world opens up. And you find that, it sounds corny, you're almost creating from this place of love and friendship that's unlike anything else. And that's why it's even more just double down on working with your friends, I think. Because I've performed and acted with selfish pigs that will just try to take over. And all I will do is just throw them the ball gently and lighter. Like, take it, take it. Yeah. I'm not here to do a thing. I know I'm a giant loud man. I'm here to support you. And yeah. then they'll cut. And then the actor that kind of ignored you before sees all you're trying to do is set screens and give them the ball. Oh, it was actually kind of nice. And then they'll warm up. And then suddenly, even the biggest asshole, their heart will open up slightly to collaboration if you approach it with love.
Wait. So, Say a name.
Put it on the sheet.
Rule, man.
I think I heard him say Tom Cruise. Did you hear him say Tom Cruise?
I think I heard Tom Cruise.
But Jake worked with Tom Cruise and loved it. They did The Mummy.
Yeah.
In his stories, Tom likes to be called TC. And he said he doesn't mess with the any
coffee?
Drug.
I heard a coffee story where he brought like this fanciest coffee in the world. Is that it?
He's got a dude from Colombia that flies with him everywhere. And Jake's like, God, what is this coffee? He said this coffee is a drug. Whatever this is from the Andes or Peru or Colombia or wherever, this coffee is some kind of drug. And that's what's fueling Tom Cruise.
That makes sense.
He had nothing but wonderful things to say.
That is.
Where he just keeps you like, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like I can say this because I heard multiple reports from the set of Space Jam that LeBron just keeps like a masseuse who like massages his legs 24/7. Like some like beautiful woman. As soon as he like stops moving, it's like rub the leg time. It's no wonder his legs are like fucking Wagyu and he can play till he's 55. He's getting light massage every moment of his life. It's unreal.
We need masseuses. Is what I'm
over here using a knockoff Theragun.
the Amazon Theragun.
He's got soft, what I assume are Cambodian fingers for some reason.
I saw Cambodian fingers live with the original bass player. Underrated.
That's so fucking ridiculous.
Yes, I know that was a problematic statement. Based in literally nothing. I just picture what LeBron James might like. I don't know.
We're guesstimating. We're just guessing.
If you're at that level, you go Cambodian. It's controversial, but it's true.
Dave Chappelle went there first, so I think it's just he set the table for all black people to choose Cambodian.
True. Before we pivot, one last thing.
Please.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. That is how you should do it, right? And I've always been under the impression of the only way to make successful thing is to be with homies who do their job well and then just make it. But the problem, and this is my big UCB thing and why I always go down to it, is don't try to put me in a slot. That comes back to the top part that we've mentioned in the beginning. And UCB does it a lot, and it's like, well, you don't fit how I want my black people to act, so I don't know what to do here, so I'm not going to help you. And it's like, you should do that. Eric, exactly what you said is how we all succeed. It's entertainment, bro. So it's like, how do we all make the best entertainment? You go, you're funny. I'm funny. You know what we're going to do? We're going to help each other be funny. We're going to give ourselves the best platform to be funny. But people don't do that. And it's like, well, why do you think it doesn't fucking work? Like, whenever I hear about somebody who's being a diva and they don't want to come out of the fuck you. So many people are here trying to do this job. Fuck, you're an asshole. Come outside and get it done, bro. You have the easiest job in the world, bro. I don't care if you're Daniel Day-Lewis. Your job is fucking easy, dog. There are people who literally to this day still have to go down in coal mines. What are we doing?
And I think the second you lose that gratitude, it goes away. I think you say, oh, I don't want this. I'm showing up to work being an asshole. And also in this town, you have to be so unbelievably talented, bring something so different to get away with being an asshole. There's a lot of people that can get away with being an asshole in 100 episodes of one TV show. To do it a second time, they're just not going to hire you. It's just not fun anymore.
Well, I deal with it.
But on that note, you were hired on Hoops.
Yep.
Thank God.
I want you to tell me what you think Hoops is.
That's true, yeah.
That's me?
Yes.
That is a good question.
Well, it's based on an incredibly obscene and funny sketch my buddy Ben Hoffman did years ago on the Ben Show about a foul-mouthed basketball coach. And I think they're like, there is more here. the well is not dry yet. So, it's about, you know what I like to view it as, actually? I view it as a meditation on a mentally disturbed person with an undefined mental illness and what the community around him does to try to cope.
Wow, that description is accurate. Is like, it's like someone's resume who like just shoveled garbage, like like paper redistribution engineer. Like, what the fuck did you just say?
I did a waste dispersal.
Nigga, you worked at McDonald's.
It's a bunch of cussing. It's a bunch of cussing. And it's America 2020, and it's now the number two most watched thing on Netflix. It's
exactly but you're not wrong. You that episode where he like changes his personality, and everybody's like, what? And he comes to the party, and you're all like, what the fuck was that? That is exactly what you just said. It's a bunch of people like, I mean, this just is who he is, man. We just got to deal
it.
With it.
And like, they're all just sending him love. And I do love like some of the improvisations that he's done with like especially Cleo King, the songs. And that stuff are hysterical. And like, yes, as you can imagine, a lot of that stuff in there was improvised in the moment.
So I before watching this, here's the journey I went through. Okay. I see the, like a release, some sort of release info on Twitter. I immediately, without taking a step back, tweet, wow, a basketball show with all white cast? I'm not watching this. And then like 45 seconds later, Eric tweets, so proud to be a part of the Hoops team. And I'm like, oh, shit,
God,
Eric, you want that shit?
God damn it.
I guess I'll watch. Like, I hope you didn't see my last tweet.
I wish I saw it. I would have retweeted that so quickly. So quickly.
This is where Rob went to delete the button quicker than that dude went
no,
to like
leave it.
It
up. I'll close tweet like it.
I definitely didn't delete it, but it was... That's how I felt when I first saw it. I'm like, what?
That makes sense.
Especially knowing basketball shows and whatnot. Even the promo that I saw didn't... I guess there is one black character, but he wasn't in the promo. It was just like five white people. And I was like, what kind of... Why? Why would you do this? Why? I don't understand.
When you watch it, you're happy that it's only one black character because the team is garbage. It's like, I like that better, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
But it's very funny.
So how did you said that you got the call because of your relationship with...
With Jake. With Ben, and they introduced... And, like, this is where politics come in because they had to fight like hell to even get me in there. Like, I'm not a series regular. I'm in 8 of 10 episodes because if it's a series regular, it's a whole level of approving, and they ain't going to approve me, you know, unless it's for a part like that. So I'm technically recurring, and they had to move mountains just to have that because, you know, they'd rather have somebody else a lot of times.
Why? It's Schmidt, like you're in everything. Like, I don't understand that logic. Like, ooh, we just – the everyone wants you. You're good at it. You have talent that you can mimic any voice known to goddamn mankind. This is true. You can. In fact, just pause right there. Do me. I'm interested.
I am getting close to a Rod Benson. It is right here. No, you're gonna need to listen to me now, and I'm gonna tell you one time. I don't have the timber down, but I'm slowly from your.
Was that
Instagram
wait? Was
stories.
That was that me just then?
It's
that was...
getting closer. It's getting first you get the phrasing. I do not want to do this again, but I'm gonna do it one more time so you can hear. So it's get first I get the cadence, then I'm gonna bring in the baritone. Okay, I thought we were done. I guess one more time for you that don't know.
Oh my God.
I've never had someone try to imitate me like that before. It's interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, they would rather Netflix would rather have somebody with 1 million followers or somebody that brings a cool cachet or is on a hip premium show. But like, I also know I'm a knock on the doorway from any of that. So I'm just extremely grateful to be a part of it. And again, if like, you know, it just reaffirms like these guys gain nothing from having me there. They're just so loyal. And yeah, I did a good job. And then what I love is I always wanted to be on a show and be able to do all the other voices. And I grew up around so many rednecks. I can give these redneck voices. So that's a lot of fun for me too. But you just kind of see it's the heart of Jake Johnson. Like, everybody from New Girl came back.
Yeah, us Schmitty's in there.
Yeah, and I had no idea. It's really funny to, you know, because you, I always search latest on Twitter when something comes out, because that's a great way to get a true sense of it. And it seems like it's two-thirds people that like it and a third that are so completely offended that something like this exists. And I'm like, all right, that works.
There are so many more offensive shows, though. Like, what's the one, like...
Family Guy?
Daniel Tosh's show, the fucking... the camp
Brickleberry.
Shit? Brickleberry? That show is crazy. Like, that show is actually off-the-wall cuckoo pants, and this is nowhere near as crazy as that show.
No, it's definitely not as crazy, but I think that because Brickleberry is on, like, a network TV station, they just don't curse as much. I think that I could see a world where a bunch of Karens are upset because their child thought they saw like a funny cartoon. If you tune into BoJack Horseman, which is
depressing as shit,
great, it's awesome, but it deals with a lot of great themes. There's not like blatant, like you could watch it for 10 minutes and maybe not be accidentally offended. In 30 seconds, this guy's like, "You motherfucking pieces of shits, get up here!" Like right away. So Karen, the Karen alarm. It's just going off.
I guess
right
the
away.
Profanity, I'll give you that. But in Brickleberry, the lady cop literally is trying to rape the fat dude and like pins him down one time. It's like playing with his titties. Like it was like the most obscene show I've ever seen. And then the dog is that fucking Daniel Tosh plays is high off cocaine. He's fucking a cat. He's fucking a dog with fleas. And like they're having an orgy. Like, and they fuck this old man. That is more absurd than anything I have seen on this show.
Oh, this
and I've watched every episode.
You remember that episode really well, man.
Two different episodes.
You really liked both of those
episodes,
didn't you?
I watched a lot of Brickleberry.
Yeah, you
did. All of it.
For everything you just said, you like Brickleberry.
I didn't say it was bad. I said it was crazy. I like adult cartoons.
Respect Brickleberry once to take a look.
Adult cartoons are funny to me, bro. I've been invested since the
So are you a fan of Hoops?
Yeah. But then again, I'm biased because I already liked like all the New Girl people. Like, New Girl's one of the last great sitcoms. So I was already, like, I was already invested to watch the whole thing.
See,
and
Kelly's
then once
a
I
big,
found out Eric is on, I was like, all right, well, I have to watch this.
Kelly's a big New Girl fan. And so I've only seen, like, one or two episodes just in passing by her or maybe, like, dropping in for, like, 5 minutes. But then, like, I'll do my, maybe anyone in a relationship can relate to this. Like, she'll have it on and I'll come in and be like, I just like kind of like look away from the TV long enough till she gets like, you don't really want to watch this, do you? I'm like, no, thank God you picked up on that. Wow. Something else.
Trying to not be on his phone. Just be like,
just like literally looking at nothing. Like
analyzing this bird painting.
Just say you don't want to watch it. Like, no, I'm not going to say that because I love what you like. What are you talking about?
Now, what I love about New Girl is it's like finding a new life where all these things, but New Girl gave me maybe my favorite story I've ever had of running into somebody that's a fan of a particular show. Actually, quite easily, this is the best story. Because you never know who watches this stuff. And I'm pretty good at, if somebody comes up to me, I can pick out what they're going to recognize me from. The Twin Peaks crowd is very different from We Bare Bears, which is very different from Parks and Rec, which is different. It's all very different. Bottom line, I got to meet and shake Prince's hand because of New Girl. For real.
Like,
and this also gets to why Jake is so hilarious. So I did not grow up a Prince fan. I was a Michael Jackson guy. I wore a single glove to school. I'm dating myself. But here
hold on. Did you actually wear a single glove to school?
Fuck yeah, I did.
You have a picture. Do you have a picture?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That is your picture for this episode.
Dude,
send it.
My first ever concert. I still have it. First ever concert, 1984, Victory Tour, Jackson 5, Tito, underrated. But
that's a hot take.
please. Hilariously, Prince, Rodgers Nelson, the greatest musician that's ever lived, in my opinion, was an obsessed fan of New Girl. He would watch New Girl over and over and over again on his tour bus. And they heard a rumor of this.
I thought I got the episode.
Yeah. And they asked him if he would do it and if he'd be on their Super Bowl episode. And Prince said, I'll only do it if I could be part of bringing Jess and Nick together. He wanted to bring Zoe and Jake Johnson together because he's Prince and he's the most love-filled man ever. So Prince comes in, does the episode. 8 months later, Prince would do these secret shows. I go to the Palladium on a Friday night. The next day they announced he's going to do another show on Saturday. The Friday night was like a 90-minute jazz show. So you know this Saturday is going to be the Prince Rogers Nelson where everything gets crazy.
Yeah.
I was already at the Palladium waiting in line for night two of Prince when I get an email from my best buddy, Jake Johnson, Coach Hopkins from Hoops. And he says, because he knows I'm, you know, everything's a negotiation. I'll get into places perhaps I wasn't invited. He says, you did not get this email from me, but if you want to do your garbage, try it. And the emails to Jake and the other series regulars on New Girl saying, hi, Prince is going to do a show this Saturday at the Palladium. He had so much fun doing the show. He wanted to invite you all down as his guests. Now, here's the disappointing part where I tell you, do you know how many stars of New Girl took Prince up on that offer?
Zero. Get the fuck out of here. I'm so disappointed in L'Amour. That's so terrible.
L'Amour is one of the greatest humans.
Famous
ever.
Crazy, yo.
Come on, bro.
Were you at a Halloween party?
I get the Wayans. He's probably met that nigga before. I get it. But L'Amour, what the fuck, bro?
L'Amour is the greatest human. I once had to very sadly pick up some LeBron James tickets from him for Jake and I because he's shooting on New Girl. And I felt so bad. I was just trying not to laugh because he was so sad. But none of it. And Jake had just had kids, and I understood it, but he's like, none of us are going, but if you want to do your bullshit. So I immediately, from waiting in line, sent an email to Prince's manager saying, hi, this is Eric Edelstein. I played drunk Elvis on New Girl. I don't know if Prince would remember me, but in my head, I know Prince is also an obsessed Elvis fan. So if he loves New Girl, he loves Elvis, he might have seen me. So I'm like, if there's any way to get into the show tonight, I would love to go. Within 2 minutes, I get an email back from Prince's manager saying, Prince would love to have you there tonight. How many tickets would you like? And I'm instantly thinking, and again, only because Jake Johnson went down and got all of our friends on New Girl, I was like, if you give me 4 tickets, I can show up with 3 other New Girl guest stars. And they're like, perfect. So I showed up with Brian Farrell, Ben Hoffman, the creator of Hoops, and we all went down. And we were in like an up above area at the Palladium. And then I invite my other friend, Benny. Benny's like, is he going to do Party Man? I'm like, Ben, he's not doing Party Man.
He's not doing this shit, Benny. It's always that one fucking guy, bro.
Only problem, Chris, is that one fucking guy was right. Because on this night, Prince played for 4 hours.
That's ridiculous.
Prince, I'm talking crazy. Hour and a half encores. Prince begging the crowd to let him leave, and we would not let him. But I was in the VIP area, which is up above, which it's like, well, that's, I want to be close to the action. I've also had this amazing thing I've noticed that just because of being a character actor, odds are pretty good. Some security guard has recognized me from somewhere and thinks I should be where I'm not supposed to be. And wonderfully on this day, this happened. I walk backstage, guy looks at me, gives a quizzical look, trying to figure out what he's seen me die in. And just opens up the velvet rope.
Green room. Ironically enough.
Green room. Shit, I better not mess with this guy. Shit. Far left or far right, I don't care. It's terrifying. I am back behind the stage. It is me, my buddy Brian, Dave Chappelle, and 2 of his guests. And Chappelle's back there smoking, gives me a what's up.
Get the fuck out of here.
We're just sitting back there for an hour backstage. At one point, I'm not kidding, and I hate to say this, Prince is inviting people out to dance with him. And at one point, he gives me a little look and a smile, and he, like, motions me out. Now, I'm like, he doesn't mean me. He means a Kardashian or Kardashian adjacent. If I walk out there, I'm going to get
Kardashian
tased.
Adjacent.
Like I'm going to get like tased.
I doubt he wants a Kardashian. It's Prince.
I mean, they were there. They were dancing. And so then, I'm like, I think he did that to me. I don't know. After 4.5 hours, and yes, friends, he did Party Man. He did everything. It's just known as the greatest Prince show ever. He walks off stage with his entourage, and I see him make a look, and he's just walking over to me. And he's just smiling and beaming this Prince light out of him after 4 hours. And I just stick my hand out, forgetting you're not supposed to shake Prince's hand or whatever, and I just blurt out, and it was the truth. Like, that was the greatest show I've ever seen, man. And he just looked at me with a smile on his face of like, I think he was like, that's drunk Elvis. And he just looked at me like, thank you very much. And then he just stood there staring at me. And then his manager moved in and he's like smiling at me, staring up at me. And then his manager moves him. And she's like, oh, we better be moving him along. Moves him. And she looks back, gives me a look that could kill a yak. And it's like, your area was upstairs. And I just was like, I shook Prince's hand. And I left. And so it's like, that's what I love about this life. is you never know who's going to be a fan of what. I never know who in 10 years is going to be a fan of hoops, that something else magical will happen. But it's really, it's crazy to me. I still can't believe it. So that's my biggest takeaway from New Girls. Like, I met Prince.
I don't think anybody can top that. That's fucking ridiculous.
I don't have any more stories.
Yeah, fuck it.
Forever.
Let's talk about the movie. Pretty much trump that. Like, that's
all my stories are shitty. Like, man, we got this bottle one night.
You had a whole hand of spades.
Turned into a real party, man.
You
4
just had
a.m.
a whole hand of spades and said, this game is over. And I was like, you're right. I'm out.
So can you just tell us about your character on Hoops.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm playing again the usual. I played it many parts. Jake Johnson's good buddy and his buddy from high school, Kirk, who is shockingly a bad idea buddy, a friend with horrible ideas, which has somehow turned into my brand.
Terrible.
And
PI.
In real life, I'm Jake Johnson's bad idea buddy. We've gotten in a lot of situations together. We came up together. We did a show at Second City. So it's an honor to do that. And then it was so fun for me to get to do scenes with Ron Funches because he's...
Yeah.
I've been such a fan of his forever, and he has the most magical voice ever. And
his voice is crazy. He's one of my favorite episodes of BoJack Horseman. I mean, all of my favorite ones are like the deeper ones, but one of the ones that doesn't get that deep is Chicken for Days, and Ron Funches plays like the chicken, like, yeah, Chicken for Days. We treat chickens like chickens. And his voice is just so perfect. He's like unmistakable. Actually, I want your opinion on this because I bet you would agree, but someone told me a long time ago that the best artists are the ones that you can recognize instantly. So, like, when you listen to music, you're like, oh, I know who that singer is. I know who that rapper is. I know who that band is. When there's a voice actor, it's like someone with such a unique voice, it's like, yep, that is Ron Funches. No doubt about it.
Nobody can sound like Ron Funches.
Yeah, no one can do it how they do it. And it's just an instant. It elevates that person.
That Funches is worth paying more because he's so, like, I just watched this new cartoon Lofi on Comedy Central. Bobby Moynihan did scene one. Ron Funches comes out. It's a manatee dealing drugs after the zoo closes. Bobby Moynihan plays a drug dealing manatee, and I'm already excited. And then little baby seal or manatee, and it's Ron Funches. And I swear it lowers my blood pressure when I hear Ron's voice. And I will tell you now an embarrassing story no one has ever heard, but it's goddamn embarrassing.
Pew, 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 pew.
Here we
world
go.
Exclusive.
No, yes.
Insert sound here. Effects here. We got the
and
budget.
It's not
noise, 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 noise.
This is not Prince recognizing you. This is the diametric opposite, friends. And I'm sad to report it, but it is true. And Ron Funch's heart and soul deserves to have the story out here. So, Rod, you only know me as the sad, non-drinking, not eating anything fun type of guy, but a big reason I don't drink anymore was I did the show Drunk History, and it definitely got on top of me. It is a dangerous thing to be able to walk in any bar in Atlanta, Portland, San Francisco, and somebody there has seen you pound a beer.
Yeah.
Because that's what this idiot would do on there, is pound beers.
Mm-hmm.
So we did San Francisco Sketchfest, did a live Drunk History panel show. And we got on the plane that morning, Kyle Kinane, Steve, but we're like, we're not getting drunk. We're not going to do that. He wants us to come out there stoned and drunk for this show. We just aren't doing it. Well, we failed. I barely remember the show. I know I challenged some tech bro to pound a beer who was talking shit, and I annihilated him, and Derek wouldn't let me take like $400 for him. It was a rough night. And then after
it was a $400 bet to pound a beer?
Yeah, and he wouldn't let
like,
me take
shotgun
the money.
It?
Oh, nobody can outpound me. If you want, I'll get a water real quick and show you what I can do with 24 ounces.
I believe you. Go ahead, do it. Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm shocked.
Talk amongst yourselves. You'll see.
Go ahead, pound it. Nobody can pound it like Eric can pound it.
Sounds like we're watching one of those like long fabled like Mexican sex shows. It's like.
like there's only one fabled Mexican sex show.
And it's like, he's not gonna get a fat glass of water.
Why are you betting $400 on a beer drink? Like, that's what an absurd bet on that guy. You should have took his money so he learned that life lesson. That's stupid.
That's true. Like, him keeping the money is white privilege.
100%. 100%. Not of like, no. Run that shit.
No, yeah, we need to teach you
run
a
that
lesson,
shit. Yeah,
bro.
This is on you, bro. You clearly have had too comfortable of a life.
I feel like there had to be an upping of an ante there. No one just starts at 400.
That's what I'm saying. That's
you start at like 100 or you go to like 1,000.
Not even at 100, bro. Like, that's like a Yeah, that's that makes sense.
Big old
yeah,
he's
glass.
He's got a jar of beer, of jar
a
of water.
Good mason jar, like that's
like
peach
a full
type
size, like
jar.
What
it's
you would get
jelly.
In like a
this is
a
like
Prego.
A, yeah. I think yeah, it's like a Prego. It's it has it's probably 30 ounces.
Have you ever seen Holes?
Wait, we're gonna count this out loud.
That's
okay,
what the peach is at. Let's get it.
Yeah. 1, 1,000, 2, 1,000, 3, 1,000, 4, 1,000, 5, 1,000, 6.
That man's a problem.
We'll say 5.5 seconds of 30 ounces.
That's so I was doing
was
that with beer.
Was that cold or is that lukewarm?
What do you call it? Room temperature.
Room temp. Okay.
Cold would be very hard.
Yeah, I was just seeing how impressed I should be, which is still quite impressed.
In theory, because the pounding of beverages was not that impressive to my overall health.
Hmm.
So we pounded these on stage and then kept pounding more. And then I lost the night. I wake up the next morning, feel like I hit by a truck. And I asked Steve Berg, I'm like, what? Because the whole night, Ron Funches was in my head of like, I think this guy's things figured out. Because we show up a drunken mess. They took us to some nice dinner, giving us shots. Derek's a brilliant man. He's not going to have a live drunk history show at the Castro Theater without having, as Kyle called us, his boozy puppets. And the whole time, Ron's backstage, he's like, I just smoke weed. Yeah. I just smoke weed.
Letters.
Right? Yeah, the whole time. And I remember thinking, like, this dude might have it figured out. And then I did not remember how I got back to the room. I don't know a thing. And then I went to Steve Berg the next morning. I'm like, how did I get back to my room? He's like, Ron Funches basically carried you back. I'd met Ron one time. Ron Funches, that's the kind of human he is, left a fun after party to take care of me and put me to bed.
Real one.
So as you could, whenever Ron Funches comes into any cartoon, I get even more excited because and he never mentioned, he was so sweet. And I think he's got this show now that's all about like being your best self. And I think he's glad to see me now. I was getting worried about you.
Well, you gotta get him a podcast, his podcast, to talk about that because I think that is what his
getting
podcast
better.
Is about. Right?
Interested in. Obviously, you don't remember this, but when you talk to him next on the podcast about this, what was it like putting you to bed?
Because
I put drunk people to bed before. I just picture you being like, "Thank you, Ron Funches. You're my only friend."
Right. That's what it's like.
Just blacked out. Two people just like, "Thank you, friend."
Ron.
No,
and he's like, problem, buddy. He's like, "I'm like, no problem, buddy."
I got you. But yes, he's like, Jesus, I wonder what you said to him. Because Steve plays DJ on that show. So as you can tell, it's just one circle of Jake's friends that this
what
happened.
You said, is Ron Funches tall? Is he big?
He's a big guy.
He was bigger back then, too. Now he
lost
a
lot of weight.
Yeah, and he like legitimately wrestles. He's like occasionally wrestles. He's obsessed with wrestling and loves it. But he's got like the Michael Jordan of voices where you hear it and it's just on another level and elevates everything. And then what I do love about this, because Jake is just so loyal, Cleo King that plays the principal, she came in for a guest star spot on New Girl and just killed it. And Jake is like, she is hysterical. She should be getting bigger and better looks. And they gave her this giant part in the show. And not only that, they let her improvise, which is rare in animation. The songs she improvised are so crazy and so specific.
She
so
improvised
hilarious.
The
one
songs.
She sang those whole episodes?
Yeah. Jake's like, go, Cleo. And like, you know, so, and she kind of, she and Ron, I think, bring a lot of the heart to the show. Because Jake, admittedly, you know.
It's crazy.
Swearing
the
time.
They have one scene and it's the, I laughed for a long time, and it is this had to be an improvised situation. Is when they're talking, and then she goes, "I forgot what the setup was, but the punchline was I'm gonna have Denzel eating my pussy." And he was like, "You don't have Denzel eating pussy. That's not the right guy. Don't you fucking tell me who's gonna be." He's like, "I'm gonna be on the beach, and it's gonna be Denzel Washington." He's like, "That's fucking insane." And I was like, "This
is a good Coach Hopkins, friend. I just heard that. That's, you got it." See, we're all impressed.
Thank you.
And I know that's improvised, just because I saw interview with Jake, and Cleo, bring it. And like, that's also like as improvisers, what you always want to do is if you can add stuff and elevate the material, the writers and creators are so thrilled with that stuff, you know?
Yeah. People do get real up their butts about it though. Like I spent hours writing it. Yeah, but this is funnier. Let it be funny.
That's in the office. Let shit be.
Yeah, let it ride, bro. Let it rock. That's the whole point of this.
Yep.
Last time you were on, Eric, I asked you the question, what do you have coming up for you? And you're like, I feel like that was like 5 months ago now.
It was.
I feel like now, I don't know what you can talk about, but that answer has changed dramatically.
Yeah.
You can't say nothing.
Well, I don't think they've announced it yet, but like, shit, I'll announce it here? But maybe don't put it specifically, but I'm thrilled because, you know, Bears, they're doing other weird stuff with it, so I didn't know. But it looks like, I just recorded this week, I'm going to be Daddy Shark.
Get the fuck out of here. That's
Chris,
a check.
Chris is
that's
eyes
a check.
Just then.
That's a check.
Chris's eyes
that's
just
a
then.
Check. That's a fucking check.
That's a check, Chris.
I wish you still drank so you could pay for drinks. Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Oh, I still love going
I hate
to bars.
When sober
Rod
people have
tell
success.
You. No, I love bars. And I had to let my drinking friends know. I
you
still love
wear.
Bars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm unbelievably fuck. Grateful. Yeah, and I get bro. To sing.
Get the fuck out of here. That's
yeah,
so
and
tight.
It's me and Natasha Rothwell from Insecure.
Yeah.
And we get to sing, and like, I can't believe it. They haven't announced it yet, so this will be embarrassing if somehow they recast. But I recorded this without a problem, so I think we're good. And then I'm on a new Disney Channel show called The Curse of Molly McGee, playing a ghost. And that's another go. Lesson for voiceover, because now I'm just going in there doing impressions of my friends. So maybe in 2 or 3 years, I can go in and do Rod Benson. It'll keep getting better. But this is like, I got 2 gigs now, one on a show called The Fungies and one on this Curse of Molly McGee. I'm just doing impressions of friends from college. And it's so darn fun. And it feels like beating the system.
That is, that's
you
what
are
you gotta
the system.
Do, man.
I'm
yeah, at this point, you are the system.
I wish. I love it. You guys think
that's so fucking sick.
No, baby steps.
No, daddy's
yeah, no, daddy steps. No, daddy steps. Baby steps.
Yes. Oh, I've never been more happy about getting a gig, truly.
Oh,
I mean,
my
it's
God.
Such a weird time right now. And what I love is it's a preschool show. So it's just giving them the good stuff. So like with Bears, we're always sneaking in lessons and wonderful things. Oh, also, I don't know when this will air, but tomorrow, We Bear Bears, we're doing a giant premiere kickoff with huge special guests live on Twitch, all benefiting the NAACP Legal Fund.
There you go.
I don't know when this is live, but this will be the night of the 3rd, and this will be really cool too.
Okay, yeah, I'll get this up today so that works out. The night of the 3rd tomorrow to kind of get that
hell
song.
Yeah.
Some hype.
Oh,
you know, we're gonna when we send over our followers, tsunami.
Tiny drop in the
they're gonna have to Twitch. They're gonna shut down Twitch.
Oh, I love it, and I love it already. There's kick. Why are the Bears helping the NAACP? This is why are they politicizing?
Because there's a brown bear and a panda.
That's yeah, and I'm very lucky, and we're treading lightly with me being the brown bear. So let's start to get back, huh?
I'm waiting for the day when you do our show and then you get cast as other brown bears because he's clearly a fan of the Browns. He's passed all the tests.
I believe the word is adjacent.
It's always at the hour mark I start to lose it.
This fucking
lose it or gain it. I say gain it. Double
he's
down.
He's clearly a fan of the Browns.
That's gonna be my new bio online. Clearly Eric Edelstein.
He's got too
Browns.
Many colored folks as friends. I don't like it. He said Lovecraft Country was good. I don't like it. He's militant.
He let Funt just put him to bed.
Oh shit, that's so fucking funny.
Oh Lord. Well shoot, that'll I got nothing
Daddy,
else. You good, Chris?
Daddy Shark.
Please.
Yeah, maybe I'll put that song on at the end and just ruin all the copyright.
Oh, I love it. There's no podcast that's more fun to do. I think you two know that. This is such a joy.
Thank
appreciate
you,
that. Appreciate that. Well, round 3, when we check back in and you're...
Always. I'm offering to be your correspondent or translator, whatever you need. I'm always here.
That'll be a fun
episode.
Bit. We'll find a way to use that for sure. We got
to
use that
always,
on camera.
Always. Yeah. Well, y'all are great at figuring out, but if there's sometimes you're like, okay, I really don't know what they're thinking on this one, I'm here.
It's like a reverse Paul Mooney.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got
these,
a Paul Mooney
these
story.
These motherfuckers. Drop
it on us and we'll end after
Paul
that.
Mooney was once so mean to me when I worked at Starbucks.
That makes sense. It's Paul Mooney.
Oh. Well, no. It was so funny. He came in, and I knew who he was. Like, I, you know, you would see Paul Mooney ads in like Source magazine, and I was like, Mr. Paul Mooney.
The fact that you read the Source again, you fuck with the Browns.
He fucks the Browns.
Fuck with the Browns.
You got to remember.
Eric is some 18-year-old white kid in Washington just reading up on the Source, staying real active in these streets, yo.
He related to that Chris Rock shit. That's the shit he had in the Source.
I read the Source like twice, and I was like, oh, it's a little too gully for me, dog.
Oh, wow.
<I'm> gonna... When I was like 10.
He said, this might be a little bit too
really
rough for
me. I don't really get the Source, man. I'm not acting like that.
I'm from Chelsea by the Sea. I can't.
Cardiff by the Sea. Thank you very much. It's a beach enclave.
Fucking
all right, so he comes in and you read the Source.
No, and then this was, I was the worst Starbucks employee ever. I was at Highland and Franklin, and our shift lead, Sandy, was wonderful. And like, if the protocol was, if someone comes in, Mr. Paul Mooney orders, then I say to Sandy, who's my boss and the shift lead, a black female, Sandy, can you give me this pastry? This is the protocol. Mr. Paul Mooney comes in, he's like, I'll get a coffee and I'll get this pastry. I'm like, Sandy, would you mind getting me a scone? Why are you telling her to get that scone? Why are you letting him tell you to get that scone? And I'm like, and then I answer, I'm like, I blur, I'm like, she's my boss, Mr. Paul Mooney. This is protocol. And I think he was so surprised I knew his name. Sadly, I didn't have a chance to bring up the Source magazine in Vancouver, Washington when I was 10. But
Source.
He definitely was not thrilled with me asking Sandy to get the scone. So that just know Paul sense. Mooney, he's not just Paul Mooney on camera. Paul Mooney's Paul Mooney.
He's Starbucks. He's definitely not going to be thrilled when we blow up and I ask him to tuck you in.
Well, he's going to have to.
Why you got me tucking in this white motherfucker? What kind of shit is this?
All right, Eric, until next time.
I love you guys. Oh, my God. I don't want this to stop. All right.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.